Will you turn with me, please, in your Bible to Colossians, the book of Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians in the New Testament. It's right before Thessalonians and Timothy. So if you hit the T's, you've gone too far. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm excited to open the Word with you today and to look at the great victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the victor. He is the conqueror and the king over all things. He is not a baby in a manger. He is not dead on a cross. He's not a spirit flying through the air. He is the embodied second person of the Trinity, fully God, fully man, conquered sin, conquered death, seated on the throne, ruling and reigning over all things, and he is our Savior and our champion. How awesome is that? Death cannot touch him. He is over all things, even the deer that eat the pine trees. And so we are so thankful for a great king who's over all things. But his victory is real to us. It's not just a thought. It's not just an idea. It's not a hope. He is victorious because of the cross and the resurrection that he's had. He has proven his victory. Now, sometimes in life, it does not feel that way. It doesn't feel that way when the small things happen. And you go to get your Culver's and it's the wrong order and you're like, what is happening? That doesn't feel like Christ is victorious. It doesn't feel like Christ is victorious when you get a bad diagnosis at the doctor and it's a big thing. Or a bill doesn't get paid or something doesn't happen or there's a scary moment and suddenly you're wondering. And I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus is victorious and he's on the throne. Yes. Big things, small things, he's over all of them. And so we're going to read through part of Colossians today, and I want the Word of God. The Word of God is the balm. The Word of God is powerful and effective, and the Word of God will build up your heart to see Jesus. And I'm saying that because I hope my preaching will open your heart and open your eyes and be a blessing to you, but really, it's the preached Word of God that's going to change you and that's going to help you see Jesus. So I can make the nicest, biggest emotional pleas, and you can feel like, wow. And we all know that by about 4 o'clock this afternoon, when you get the wrong Culver's order, you're like, meh. But the Word of God built up in your heart to see him, to know him, to follow him, to hear him, it's his Word. So let him speak to your heart today as we go through part of Colossians together and hear from the Word of God. We're going to start reading, please, in Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians 1, this is written by the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Colossae, and he's writing to them to build up their faith. And he is reminding them of the gospel. And in chapter 1, in verse 9, he says this. Colossians 1, 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. That's heard of their faith. We have not ceased to pray for you. Asking that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a great king we have. You know, as we read this, and I know you've read it before and you've heard it, as we read this little summary of the great kingship of Jesus and what he's done for us, there are some words that really come out and come off the page to me that I don't expect to be there all the time. And so as you're reading, just take a moment from that section that we just read. Is there anything that surprised you? Is there anything that as you read, you were like, huh, that maybe you've kind of skipped over before? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. This is a little bit different. With the people, like 2 or 3 people around you, just right near you, I'm going to give you 90 seconds, short. Are there any words that surprised you as you were going through this passage that we read in Colossians 1? Ready, go. Benjamin. Twenty seconds remaining. I really want to thank Ian, by the way, and the Blecker family for volunteering to lead the next cornhole tournament / disc golf.
Thanks, Ian.
It's going to be great. Good job, Ian. All right. Thank you, Jesus. What did you notice? Anybody have one they were like, "Oh, that's pretty good." Somebody said?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's where we get Colossians.
That's it. That's the people of Colossians. Yeah, like St. Louisans. St. Louis, yeah. Colossi, Colossians. Epaphras, yeah. There's some. So Epaphras is a fellow minister with Paul. Actually, at the end of the book too, he's gonna have a bunch of names of funny people, and that's a whole nother sermon, but it's very significant. Christian Kassbaum could probably tell you more about that. So, no, okay. Yes, sir.
I was stricken by the first verse there that says, filled with the knowledge.
Yes, filled with the knowledge. Man, it is awesome. Did you notice, Rex Chin is telling us about the idea of being filled with the knowledge of God really struck him. I agree. Amen to that. Did you notice that he used the word knowledge multiple times?
Yes.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because when you think of faith, when you think of Christianity, and you think of following Jesus, and you think of good actions and good works, which he also mentions, you don't often think of knowledge. But he wants you to be filled with the knowledge of God. And it's important that you know him, you know his victory, you know his life. You don't just have a feeling of it. Those are different things, aren't they? Everybody who's married in this room knows there's a difference between feeling in love and just being in love. Like, I love my kids. I am in love with my kids. That's a weird way to say it, but I love my kids. I don't always feel like I love my kids, right? And yet I love them. And so the feeling and the knowledge are different, and being filled with that knowledge affects us. Yeah?
Along those lines, back at the time of these texts, the words understanding and knowledge were almost interchangeable.
Yes.
Yes,
it's this that impacts this, that makes this work. So it's your mind, you know, I understand. With reasonableness, Paul uses later. He said that you would have reasonable faith. That's, you got to know, like no. But that impacts your heart so that you can say, listen, heart, we believe and we follow together. And then because of that belief and that knowledge and that understanding and that love for God, now we serve him with what we do. That's cool. And we mess that up a lot sometimes in our culture. We put the cart before the horse in a lot of places. Okay, yeah. Anybody else? Words that surprise you? Frank.
So everything else is given, but that's an indication that it's going to take endurance.
Yeah.
And that it's going to take patience. So
yes.
There's time involved and also control.
Yes.
That, I don't know. It stood out to me. It's the one thing that he gives us, but we need to take action.
True.
Things that are given to us.
True. I love that. So Frank is saying, if you didn't hear it, from verse 11, may you be strengthened with power according to his glorious might for all endurance or patience, endurance and patience with joy. Meaning, it's going to require endurance and patience. There's going to be some grit in following Jesus, the hold fast. But with what?
Joy.
With joy. With joy. Sometimes we get so fixated on the grit that we lose the joy. Sometimes we start looking for the joy so much that we're frustrated when it takes endurance. But it's both. And where does it come from? Strengthened by his glorious might, by his power. So we come to him, receive his power, his might, so that we can endure, and in all those things we get joy. Even if it's in endurance. Man, that's good. Frank, great.
Along the lines of endurance, it's almost interchangeable with perseverance.
Yes. Endurance and perseverance to hold fast. Amen.
There's exhortations in the scriptures about perseverance where they do choose.
Yes.
Instead, mm-hmm. It's with perseverance that we endure.
Amen. Yes, amen. Anybody else? Any words? Yes, sir.
My wife has pointed out to me, and we talked briefly about it here in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints.
Amen.
So when you pause for a moment, you realize it's the Father who does the qualifying.
Amen.
It is the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul earlier would say, it is because of the Father that you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Who has become to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So in other words, it's all qualified, not by our work, but by the one who truly did merit
Amen.
All things.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I give God thanks that all of us are qualified
Man.
Because of the Father who has placed us in Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If we had a prize behind door number two, you would get the prize. Well, that was the thing that, that's the thing that, he is the prize. That's the thing that shot out to me as well. I mean, everything what we've said so far is, it's the Word of God. So all of it is excellent. But I'm reading strengthened. He's qualified you. Wow, praise Jesus. Some of you will remember Dr. Harlan Muntz. Remember him? If you don't remember him, you'll remember his laugh. It's fantastic. Dr. Muntz was here in the church a long time ago, and I was here as a young man. And so when I was a senior in high school, I was very interested in going into medicine. And I went to Dr. Muntz. He was the head of ear, nose, and throat surgery at St. Louis Children's Hospital. And I asked him, I said, Dr. Muntz, would it be okay if I spent some time with you? I'm interested in medicine. What do you think? And he said, yeah. He said, meet me at the hospital. He said, you're going to just be with me for a week. I said, okay. Well, I was gargantuanly big, you know. And so senior in high school, I think it was during my spring break, maybe, I don't know. I went up to St. Louis Children's, and he gave me a lab coat. We had to find one that fit. But he gave me a lab coat, and I'm saying that because he was not a super tall guy. So he found me a lab coat, and I just followed him around. I was in rooms with patients. I was in rooms with records. I was in rooms with surgeries. I was everything. I just, wherever he went, I went. And he's the head of the department. And Dr. Muntz is a renowned surgeon. And so I got to go all over the place. And one case in particular was a Thursday morning case. And it was an 11-year-old girl who had a tumor the size of almost a softball growing in her sinus cavity. And it was pushing on her brain. And so they were going to do a groundbreaking surgery to enter through the roof of her mouth to take out this giant tumor. And it was like... I don't know what the magazines would be, but American Physicians Today, I don't know, had contacted them to say, like, tell us about this procedure. We've heard about this thing coming up. We want to know the techniques you're doing. And, like, this is a big deal, super big deal. Lots of people. It was going to be scheduled for an 8-hour surgery. I think it ended up taking 12. And here I am, 18-year-old Steven, senior in high school, lab coat on, scrubbed in for the surgery, put on the scrubs, and I'm following Dr. Muntz into the surgery. And so 3 hours in, I'm chatting with the anesthesiologist, who's, you know, the girl's there. Dr. Muntz, by the way, he used to have a procedure that he would do for whenever he had to do a surgery. And his kind of way of doing the surgery was that he would come and talk to the family, and he would get the patient all ready to go. And it was St. Louis Children's Hospital, right? So he would take the child, and he would sing Jesus Loves Me to them as he carried them back to the operating room and set them down and sing to them as the anesthesiologist did their thing. And then he would get fully, you know, you got to be super clean and all the things, right? And so So the kid never saw all the clinical side. They only saw the care. Isn't that amazing? So I watched him do this. We're 3 hours into the surgery, and he's going, well, that'd be bad. We'd have to call him for help. 3 hours into the surgery, and we're going, and his anesthesiologist is chatting with me, and he goes, hold on a minute. He goes, where are you going to school? I said, I go to Westminster. He's like, okay. He goes, I didn't know they had a med school. I said, no, Westminster High School. He goes, excuse me? I said, yeah. So gargantuanly tall, he assumed I was a resident having finished med school. And was like, what are you doing in here? And I was like, I am here. That's all I got, because I'm doing nothing. I'm just observing. And he's like, don't touch anything. And I was like, I wasn't planning on it, you know? And so we're doing this, and suddenly all the nurses, all the other doctors, everybody is like, what are you doing here? And I just looked at Dr. Muntz, and Dr. Muntz went, yeah, he's with me, it's fine. And they went, okay. That was it. 12 hours later, we finished the surgery. And I assisted Dr. Muntz, because the magazine wants to know who's in the room. I didn't do anything. I was there. But here's the reality, ready? I was not qualified, except that Dr. Muntz said, he's with me. And then I was qualified to be in that place where you had to scrub in, you couldn't have germs, you couldn't have any weird stuff, you had to be locked in. This was life and death. This is the biggest thing. This is groundbreaking. Everybody wants to know about it. And I got to be a part, even though I didn't really participate. I just got to be there. But because he said, he's with me, I was qualified. And we get to be qualified. Mike reminded us, the Father joined us to Christ through the Holy Spirit, that you are qualified to be in the inheritance of the saints. Inheritance of the saints of light. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow. How can you be in light when we find ourselves in darkness so much? And what I want to talk about today is that Jesus Christ is the victor. We talked last week over death. Did you know he's the victor over sin? He has defeated sin. He's the champion over sin. And he's called you by the Father, has called you, joined you to Christ, so that you might have an inheritance with the saints. Saints is a word that means holy ones. The agios in Greek. The agios are the holy ones, which we translate to the word saints. Holy ones don't have sin. And you not only are made an agios, a holy one, a saint, but you have an inheritance with the saints in light. And in him there's no darkness at all. How is that possible when we live in muck sometimes? We just came to the table and reminded ourselves and said, Lord, I examine my heart. Forgive me. And all of us had something that sprang to mind. We said, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I turn from that. Forgive me. How is it possible then that we can walk in the victory of Christ being made to be with Jesus, to have an inheritance with the holy ones, with the saints in light? It's because Jesus said, you're with me. That's why. Called by the Father, united to the Son, you're saved because he defeated sin. How did he defeat sin? Because he went to the cross for us. The Bible says he became sin on our behalf. And while he was on the cross, God poured out his wrath on sin onto his son Jesus. Jesus became the object of God's anger and wrath all forever. Everything was poured out onto Jesus. But not forever, for that moment, because 3 days later, what happens? He rises to life again. His resurrection, his defeat of sin, is proven in the resurrection. And so we can say now, with knowledge in our eye, in our mind, that affects our heart, that affects our hands, we can say, I know that my Savior died for me. And when he died, he took all the wrath of God for sin upon himself. And then he rose to life. He defeated sin. And I know now that I know my Savior has called me to himself. That as I trust in him, as I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, as I turn from my sins and repent, the Lord hears my prayer. He saves me. He's united me to Christ. And because Jesus has risen, I know that as he lives, I'm made clean. And then that affects our heart. And then when we get tempted, it affects our hands. Because we don't live in the muck anymore. We've been washed clean. Now we fail, don't we? But we live in the light, not in the darkness. When I was in Iraq in 2006, I had to ride on a helicopter. It was called the Iron Horse Express. That was the name, the call sign of the unit. They were the Iron Horse unit. And the Iron Horse Express was a specific flight that went from Baghdad International Airport, something, to one of the big operating bases where they had lots of headquarters with generals and stuff. And it was by like where Saddam's palace used to be, which nobody knows where that is, but it's Baghdad. So the danger of this is when you get onto a helicopter, it's gonna take off. And it's gonna take off in that general area. And so you're vulnerable because you can only be behind the walls and stuff so long before you're gonna be out, and it's definitely there somewhere. So think about if you want to find an airplane in St. Louis, there's a couple of airports you can go to, and you're going to find an airplane. In that same way, to get on a helicopter is dangerous because once you start going, like, you're a target. And so we get on this helicopter, and the crew chiefs are there. They're the ones who kind of run all the stuff inside the helicopter. The pilots fly it. The crew chiefs have weapons, and they guard the helicopter, and they make sure everything's working. So the crew chiefs help me get strapped in. I'm on the helicopter, and we get ready to take off. And sitting next to me is a personnel soldier. And she was had been around for a long time, but her specialty was HR. That was her specialty. And she had to go meet with like the generals for this big thing, for some kind of pay thing or something. But she was not, I'm making this point because she was not like a regular soldier, like I'm going to go fight things, right? And I was not Rambo, but I did more than she did. And so we get ready to go. And they made me turn in my rifle, which I did not like, because on the airplane, they don't want you to do something weird. And so I'm very much like trusting them to protect us, right? I had a little pistol, but it's a war. So I'm saying those things because that's what's happening. Well, she sits down next to me, and she gets ready to go. And she goes, "Oh," she goes, "Man, I've never been on a helicopter before." I was like, "It's wild. It's a fun feeling. You're going to like it." She goes, "Okay." I said, she goes, "They got a lot of guys here." So it's like, "Are those real guns?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "We're in Baghdad." She was like, "Oh." She goes, I live in a bunker. Like I don't go anywhere." And I was like, "You're gonna be fine. It's gonna be all right." She goes, "Well, Iron Horse Express, like they go fast, right? Because I don't want to be in the air long." I said, "It's gonna be fine." She goes, "Okay." So we start to take off, and we just start to hover, and we're about as high as the ceiling, and suddenly, because we can see the pilots are right there. Alarms are going off. Nurr, 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 nurr. Alarms are going off. And a voice is saying, "Targeting, targeting, targeting." Something is targeting the helicopter. So like a missile is targeting the helicopter. So the pilot does one of these. The helicopter goes around. The crew chief guys jump on the gun. And this gal goes, "Oh, Jesus," and grabs my arm. And I still bear the marks. She's grabbing. She was like holding like this, and I'm choking, and I was like, it's okay, and she's just holding on, and she's not okay. And so here we are, we're off the ground, joop, 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 and when the helicopter does that, it starts to shoot flares off to like stop anything that's targeting it. So it sounds dangerous though, joop, 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 all the flares are going, and none of this is good. And then we go, and we're going. So we're like halfway through, and I was like, "I need to breathe." So I get her, and she looks at me and she goes, "I did not like that." And I said, "No." She goes, "Thank you for letting me hold your hand." I said, "It's okay." She goes, "You want to pray with me?" I was like, "Sure." So we pray, we make it to the base, praise God, right? Why do I tell you this story? I tell you this story because here's what life is like, okay? You're on the Iron Horse Express. You are united to Christ. He's the victor. He's the pilot. He's got you strapped in. He's got you protected. You're there. And then it's 11:30 at night, and this thought comes in your head, and it's not godly. And the alarms start going off. What do you do? What does it look like to say, Lord, I trust you? What should I do? Because if you keep thinking about it and you stay with that vein, we know where that's going to lead. Because the thought is not the sin, but the thought that leads to this action that comes out, or the thought that leads to pondering something so long that now it's become something in your mind, or the thought that goes from here to here, it's not from the Lord. And so all the alarms are going off. The flares are going off. Why? Because God is fighting for you. But the reality is, he has already defeated the sin. He took the wrath of God for you. And so now, in endurance and patience, we say, Lord, I know what you said, and I'm not going to go to that place. Everybody take out your cell phone for just a minute. Everybody's got one, right? I like cell phones. Cell phones are great. My seventh grader does not have a cell phone yet, and it's very inconvenient because I can't find him. He goes to watch, hey, Dad, I'm going to go watch the varsity soccer game. I'm like, great. 45 minutes later, I am wandering because they left the varsity soccer game and went up to the other field and they're, or wherever. We thought we'd play soccer, so we found an empty field. I'm like, they're different locations, bud. You got to tell me. Right? Now, I'm saying that not to get on Ben. He's great. But every seventh grade boy does that. That's just how it is. Cell phones are wonderful, convenient, excellent. Have you ever spent an hour looking at your cell phone in which you ended with endurance, patience, and joy? Stocks, news, reels, social media, 1 hour, what comes out of you? It's usually not joy. Now, I have seen some funny, very funny reels, wonderful reels. David showed me one the other day of an AI thing that compilated some text messages into a song. Greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was so great, right? Funny. It can be really funny, but you stay on it for long enough and what starts to happen? You compare with other people. You get down about the news. The stock is never going to be good enough. You start to worry about all the things. You start to think about how I can take on a second or third or fourth or fifth or seventh job because I'm going to make it right. You start to trust yourself. You start to look at your value through the eyes of your cell phone instead of through the eyes of the Lord, who's made you an inheritor with the saints in light. And then darkness creeps in. And then you're so in angst about all the stuff that you just witnessed, even the funny jokes that you can't remember. And then you're like, why? I just watched an hour. Why can't I remember all of them? Because they went so fast. Isn't that weird? But then you're like, am I okay? Right? Now, so now your angst starts to just go down this path. And I'm saying that again, cell phone, what a great tool. What a blessing. It is a blessing. Also, what a distraction from what the Lord will say. How do you resist sin? If you assume that the pop-up ad that you saw that got you thinking about something ungodly was an accident, and that you are free from sin because you can ponder this because you didn't think about it yourself, it just came on accident. That's the enemy lying to you. If you get so wrapped up that your worth, that your identity is built on comparing yourself to other people, which is what social media does, instead of what the Word of God says about you, you're in danger of falling into sin. Because if that goes from here to here, and then you feel unworthy all the time, unqualified all the time, I can never help, I can never do it. Lord, you don't hear me. Lord, why have you forsaken me? That now you've taken a thought that was a worldly thing that became unbelief and is now sin in your heart. And we got to come to the Lord and say, no, I will not receive that. I will only receive what the Word says about me. Qualified. If you get one thing from this sermon today, I want you to understand, because Jesus is the victor over sin, you are qualified by the Father to be an inheritor of the saints in light. That means God's made you holy. So what should we do then? We should walk in holiness. Well, as far as I know, if you are, tell me right now, like after the meeting, we should talk. If you straight murdered somebody this week, we need to talk about that. If you embezzled a bunch of money and you're stealing, we need to talk about that. If you are cheating on your spouse, we need to talk about that. So like big sins, let's talk about it. There's restoration in Jesus Christ. There's also, this is not going to go well, right? When we sin, we know that, don't we? But that's why the devil doesn't tempt you to just murder somebody. He tempts you to call them a fool in your heart so that you murder the image of God in them and you hate them, because that's what he's like. Murder, kill, destroy. That's what he wants to do. And so the temptation doesn't come always to do the huge thing. It comes to do the little thing that you can excuse somehow because you didn't ask for it. But it just, you know, I saw the guy drop all that money, but I didn't, you know, finders keepers. I guess that's not my problem. You know, might have waited 20 seconds till he walked away, but no harm, no foul. And that's the enemy. Because what does the Lord say? Make sure that your neighbor has their property. That's the law. Don't steal means I make sure that my neighbor has his property because I'm not going to covet that. I'm not going to say, oh, my neighbor, I see that wad of cash. That should be mine because the Lord didn't love me enough to give me that. See where the thought becomes something else? That's the problem with sin, isn't it? So what do? We stand in the Word of God and we say, Lord, I trust you. And when you hear the alarms go off and it says targeting, 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 you say, wait a minute. I'm qualified because of what the Lord has done. Because he is the victor over sin. And it will not reign in me. And then if you fail, you come to him quickly. Lord, forgive me, I sinned. That was so stupid. Lord, I fell into the trap, forgive me. Lord, I trust you, help me. I trust you, help me. And what will he do? He will help you. How? Probably by making you walk through it again. Because it's with all patience and endurance, with joy, that we follow him. And so suddenly that next pop-up comes. You're like, oh, it's here again. And then you got to get rid of it. Or get a flip phone. Gouge your eye out, Jesus said, if you have to, so that we don't sin. It's better to follow him with our whole heart than to take something else, a phone, or whatever that's going to define who we are in Christ Jesus that the Word of God does not. Only the Word can define you. So let's flip together Colossians. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. The whole book of Colossians is fantastic, and in 5 minutes I can't read the entire thing. I really want to, actually, because it's everything. You should read it this week. Colossians is only 4 chapters. You should read it, meditate it, let it soak in your brain. Ask the Holy Spirit to make it real to you. Memorize chunks of it. I'm telling you, if then when the pop-up comes on your phone, you're like, no, because you'll be strong in the Word of God. That's how you defeat sin. That's how you change your thinking, because you fill it with so much good stuff that the junk, it doesn't have anywhere to go. It can't latch on to anything because you're so close to Jesus that there's light everywhere. There's no dark corner for that grappling hook of temptation to hang on to. Oh, that's pretty good. So let's read together Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us of all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Wow, praise the Lord. So here's the reality of what this says. You were dead in your trespasses. Dead, unable to save yourself. Christ, when he raised to life, the Father united you to Christ through the Holy Spirit. When he raised, spiritually you rose too and became alive. The record of your debt, the sin that you have, was nailed to the cross. It's kind of like those old Southern Waffle House kind of restaurants. You ever been to one of those? You know how sometimes they have that nail in the counter that's just sticking up, and then your bill comes and they do the bill, and when it's paid, what do they do with that bill? They stick it on that nail, right? Because that shows this is the debt paid category. Because this one, these have all been paid for. Where are the open tickets? Now the enemy is going to try to say to you, you got an open ticket. You're disqualified. Your open ticket is too much. If God actually saw all the things you charged on there, he'd never pay it. When the cross tells us that it was nailed through the nailing of the cross, and that record of debt has been satisfied to qualify you through victory over sin to belong to Jesus. How awesome is that? So what do you do? Here's what Paul tells us in the rest of Colossians, which you can read this week. What do you do? Number one, don't take your identity from your phone or from any tradition, empty things, deceit, anything else, whatever. Take your identity from what Christ tells you in the Word of God. That's number one. Number two, consider yourself dead to all that junk. You're dead to it. Take it off. Give it to Jesus and say, the sin that I walked in has been, the record of debt has been nailed to the cross, and I'm going to put that dead carcass away from me in Jesus' name. And I'm going to walk in the light of the life of God and joy. And so then when the temptation comes, you can say to the enemy and to yourself, nope, I cannot follow that. I cannot walk into that thing because that guy is dead. And so I'm going to put that to death, Paul tells us, the works of the flesh. And he names them in chapter 3 of all this stuff, earthly passions, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In them you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. See that you've put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Take off the old. I will not walk in those slanderous ways. Put on the new. I'm going to walk in the identity of what Christ has made so I look and act like him. That's how you defeat temptation. And then if you fail, you very quickly come and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me according to your covenant because I remember what you did. I remember the record of my debt has been paid by you. Christ the victor, forgive me. And he's faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness and cleanse you. How do we know that? Because he's the champion. He's the champion. Don't get your identity from your cell phone. And don't live in your old identity. The old disqualified identity that keeps trying to raise its ugly head is dead. Put it to death. Don't walk in those things anymore. Walk in life. How do you get strong in walking in life? Come to the Word. Let the Word inform your mind so that it affects your heart and your hands. If all of your information is coming from reels, it's going to affect your heart and your hands. What you put in is gonna come out. If you only listen to hardcore music that's filled with anger and wrath and malice, don't be surprised why you're depressed and upset all the time. What you put in is gonna come out. Everybody's looking at me like, what? But I love those bands. Maybe it's time to put it to death. right? Maybe listen, there's some bands you can't listen to. There's some you should listen to when you're doing a workout, right? But there's others that if you let get in your mind, it's gonna come out, especially if you wake up singing it. It's a good litmus test. What do you think about when you wake up? You know, it's funny how what you meditate on is gonna come out. The Lord is faithful. He's our victor. He's defeated sin. Amen? Will you stand? I'm gonna pray for us. If you feel disqualified, if you feel like you're in an operating room in life and you've been found out by the anesthesiologist, hear the Lord say to you, he's with me, she's with me. If you feel the alarm bells going off that you're being targeted, put to death the works of the flesh. They will try to kill you. Instead, remember that the Lord has qualified you to be an inheritor with the saints in light. Walk in the light, not in darkness. Trust Jesus. He's the one who cleanses us of unrighteousness. Father, we thank you that you are our great King. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for peace, for joy, for endurance and patience upon this body. Lord, let everyone here know your call, know your voice to say to them that they are qualified because of what Christ did in his death and resurrection. Father, let us cling to your gospel that our hearts would be turned toward you, our minds would be turned toward you, our hands would be turned toward you, and we would not be living in the old life of death and corruption. Lord, let those things that have been put to death stay dead, and instead let us walk in your marvelous light and your marvelous life. Lord, we trust you. Father, I pray that you would convict us rightly of sin so that we can bring it to you to be cleansed. Lord, I pray that you would help us to overcome temptation. I pray that you would help us to overcome sin in our lives, not by our own strength that we are good enough, but because you, O God, have nailed the record of our debt to the cross. And so we praise you and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. We have life and identity and grace and joy and endurance and patience because of you. We praise you, God. You are our great King, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Be blessed this week and know the Lord is with you and he has qualified you to be his. God bless you all. Have a great day. Thank you.